You want to call the meeting to order, the Early Childhood Learning Finance Committee meeting. Thank you all for being here. It's been a long time since we've been together, so appreciate you coming. And I know it's hard when we have committee meetings this late in the day, and it's a special day, being Valentine's Day, but I hope you all will stay. We have people that have traveled for a long way that are here to talk about their bills, so we very much appreciate that. Just a couple reminders. Next Tuesday, we will be meeting on the scholarships and allowances. And at that same time, they're showing, the United Way is showing that Close the Achievement Gap movie. So we really want you to come to a committee. I know you all have choices of committee and other things. But remember, this is like school. You're supposed to be here. So if you can please come to committee. And that's, you're going to hear a lot about the allowances and scholarships. And I really want you all to ask good questions, because I think there's a lot of questions lingering about those. Committee procedures are in the packet, so just a reminder. And the reminder to turn off your cell phones or Blackberries, especially if we start getting feedback on the mics. We'd appreciate that. And we're going to show the movie, The Closing the Achievement Gap, on February 26th at lunch meeting through the Early Childhood Caucus. So you will get a chance. The ATASCA group are the ones who are sponsoring that. Part of that happening is we want to have some folks from the ATASCA group come again, so some of the business folks will also be there. We have some new folks with us, so I was going to ask them each to introduce themselves. So our first would be our new committee legislative assistant, Matthew Cawley. Welcome. If you want to introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Matthew Cawley, as Nora pointed out, and I am her committee legislative assistant. I grew up in Winona, Minnesota, and then attended college at Mankato State University before coming up here to the legislature.
Madam Chair, if I could ask a question.
The rusty kind of grapple.
If you could be an animal, what animal would it be and why?
Are we doing that today?
I can answer.
Oh, he's going to answer. Mr. Cawley.
Madam Chair, I would be a wolf, because they are a noble creature.
Oh, good answer. Now, are we going to make, we have three other introductions, are we going to make them answer too? Okay. Carmen, you want to introduce yourself, and what animal would you be?
I'm Carmen Carter, and I grew up in Alaska. I'm the new Republican Caucus Research person for this committee. Mike Balloon and I had to switch a couple committees around, so that's why I'm here. I graduated from Gustavus, and I refuse to answer anything that Representative Grasslow presents.
Good answer.
Staff has respect.
And we have a new committee page. Which we're right here. If you'd like to introduce yourself, and thanks for joining us.
Andrew Tess. Some of you are familiar from other committees, but graduated from the U of M political science degree. I went to high school down in Fairville. I don't know if I really have to answer the animal question. I'll say, if I ask you, a lighter.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to call me, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Does everybody know what a liger is?
No.
Any Napoleon Dynamite fans?
No.
It's a cross between a lion and a tiger, and Napoleon Dynamite draws it in his movie. So you'll have to watch it and watch for the liger. So, and I only know that because I have kids a little bit younger than you. So. Welcome. And Amy Davidson is here. Amy's up there. If you want to come down and introduce yourself, she's an intern, and she's also working on the readathon, the Early Childhood Caucus readathon.
Could
use a mic. Yep, mic, because it's recording.
Okay. Amy Davidson, and I attend Metropolitan State University, and I'm Kenny Sonora working on the readathon.
You left out three things. You're a minor in special events.
Yep, event right. Planning.
Yep.
And then my niece is marketing.
And you have 4-year-old daughter. Okay.
Kayla.
And what's your favorite animal? What animal would you
be? I don't know.
A
cat.
A cat. Okay. Thank you. There's pretty rough questions here in the Early Childhood Committee. Briefly, before we start with the bonding bill, is we had three committee meetings in the interim. We worked with the Senate Subcommittee on Early Childhood, as well as the Early Childhood Caucus, which is co-chaired by Representative Peterson, and it's now, let's see, Senators Michelle and Clark, and it is Representative Wardlow. So we have two of the co-chairs of the Early Childhood Caucus right with us today. We worked together. We heard from Birth to Three in Minneapolis. We learned about innovative programming and home visiting programs. Many of you were able to join us, so thank you for that. We went to the Winnetka Learning Center for 3 and 4 year olds. We learned about a lot of literacy programs, parent-child literacy. And then we went to St. James, Minnesota, and we talked about pre-K kindergarten school transitions. Heard about a number of good programs there. So it was really, I thought, a good interim. We're working on an agenda that we will talk about a little bit more. I know the Early Childhood Caucus is also coming out with an agenda, so they will be talking about that too. Without further ado, I think we're going to move into the Early Childhood Bonding Bill, and we have to approve the minutes. That's our next order of business. So we have three groups of minutes to approve. These two, right? Four. Okay. March 26th, October 9th, November 13th, and December 11th. So can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I think that motion.
You've read them?
I'm going to.
Of course you have. Is there any? Okay. Representative Fritz moves approval of the minutes for March 26th, October 9th, November 17th, and 13th, and December 11th. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And the motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Okay. With that, we will move on to the bonding bill. This is actually my bill. So I will be taking a seat up there, and Representative Bly will be taking a seat here.
I would make a motion myself. I'll move that we bring House File 2561 before the committee and ask Representative Slawick to speak to the bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I have an amendment, the A1 amendment. I'd like to move that to get the bill in shape.
Okay, this is to put the bill in the form that the author would like it. So it's been moved. And I understand you have a change you want to make.
Yes, right? And then I do have a change. Members, we caught the chapter had been drafted. I would ask staff maybe to help us. On line 1.9, we would want to remove that clause.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct. I think we want to just delete line 1.9 from the amendment.
We'll move the amendment. Proceed.
Yep. Mr. Chair, we're all getting back at the swing of things and kind of how this works, so I appreciate your attention. We're going to have several people testify, members. I'm going to explain the bill. We do have two folks here from the Department of Human Services first, and then we have three folks from Houston that have driven up for the hearing today, and then we have the Executive Director of the West Central Minnesota Community Action, who is also here, so we'll be hearing from them. If you look at the bill, this is the Early Childhood Facilities Grant Program. We're requesting $5 million for that. This has been allocated before, and why it's needed is it allows quality preschool and early childhood facilities to promote better outcomes for kids. Many of the public entities are prohibited from borrowing to finance early childhood facilities from conventional or even alternative financing sources, and they depend on access to grants through the bonding program to address early childhood needs. So members, we're used to hearing bonding requests for a specific project. This is more so a whole grant program. We approve the program. It goes to DHS. They send out RFPs. This will be telling us more about it. And then the applicants are picked from there. The eligible applicants, just like for other bonding programs. They must be political subdivision of the state with priority applicants in counties with high rates of poverty. The public entity may lease the space to another organization to operate the program. And priorities, again, it's counties in poverty, and I have those if you'd like to know which counties are highest in poverty. Actually, it's Manoman, Beltrami, Taft, Clearwater, and Aiken are the top five. The eligible uses would include facility acquisition or rehabilitation for use of Head Start programs, early childhood family and education programs, early childhood intervention programs, or crisis nurseries. And the financing limits, which we bumped that up a little bit in this bill from the past. We're proposing not to exceed $350,000 for each program housing a facility, up to a maximum of $750,000 for a facility that houses three programs or more. So with that, I'd like to turn to the department and have you tell us a little more about the program.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, Connie Greer, Department of Human Services. I think in your packet you've got an early childhood learning facility program summary that I'm going to ask you to refer to. While you're getting that out, I'll just say a couple of words about the history of this program. It started in 1992 when we got a call from Representative Howard Ornstein about Head Start facilities, and from there the program rapidly grew to be more collaborative, to do more early childhood facilities, and Francie Mathis and I have been with this program for almost all of the time that it's been administered, except for maybe a section of time in the middle. This activity started at the Department of Economic Security, then it moved to the Department of Children, Families, and Learning, and now we're housed at the Department of Human Services, back with the old people that originally were working with it in the beginning. But we're delighted to be working with this program, and I think that this summary that you have in your packet probably provides a very good history. You get the idea of the array of projects, both large and small, that have been funded since the beginning of the activity. I'll let you look at that, but one thing I wanted to note was that on page 4, we realized that we did have a small error, and on the top of the page, the Everest Gilbert project is not in process, but that has been completed. Also, further down on that same page is the Monticello Family Center. That states that that's in progress, and that project, too, has been completed. What we did when getting prepared for today and looking at some of the history, we had pulled some old materials, and we realized that we had not updated that, so I apologize for the errors there on page 4. I guess I will just leave it to you to look at that, and if you have any questions about any of those projects, we'd be delighted to answer those questions, but I think that Francie would maybe at this time like to go through the RFP process, a little bit about that right now, and then you'll have kind of the history and the projects that are in progress and what's happening next.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Francie Mathis from the Department of Human Services. And I am the grant manager for this project and was the grant manager, as Connie alluded to, back in the mid-late 90s. And then it went away, and now we have it back again. So it's taken a little bit of time for us to track down exactly what the money is that is available right at this moment. And we had some money returned, some funding that wasn't awarded, and then some funding from 2006. So putting that together, we then put together an RFP that is out currently. It was in the State Register, it's on the DHS website, and was sent out widely to child care resource and referral, Head Start programs, community action programs, and school districts. To date, I've had a little over 50 requests for the RFP that I actually sent out. There is a little bit of technical assistance I've been doing with people so they're understanding what the requirements are regarding the political subdivision of the state, must own the building, some of that stuff. So these are only really viable potential projects. Those responses are back, due back April 1st, and the awards will be made by May 1st. There is the matching dollars component as well. These are things that are a little bit are important for potential responders to know, is that the building needs to be owned by a political subdivision of the state. There's a dollar for dollar match, and there's a youth build component. So those things are I've been clarifying, and of course are in the RFP. Are there any questions?
Reverend Slaw, do you want to proceed with the testimony, or do you want to
No, I think we will, because I know that, and if discussion comes up about the structure, if you can linger near here, we would certainly appreciate that. Next, we will have our folks from Houston and from near Fergus Falls. Yes, right? If you want to come down, we'll see if we get enough chairs here. They're going to talk about both a program they're proposing in Houston that would go be used with this money, as well as one that's been used with this money in the past. Let's see. I could scoot over and slide here. So who would like to start?
Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Richard Bartz, and I'm the elementary principal in Houston, as well as the community ed director. Houston is located in the far southeast corner of the state of Minnesota. The project that we're looking at working on is to renovate the upstairs of an early childhood center. This space is currently used for school district storage. The renovation of the upstairs of this early childhood center would extend preschool hours, would increase preschool, the collaboration that we already have with preschool, Head Start, and early childhood special education, and it would provide a place for in-home child care providers to come for education with or without children in their care at that time. We could also create a parent education room for early childhood family education and Head Start, as well as creating a space for large motor activity. A brief history of the space that we're currently occupying, the basement of the old Presbyterian Church in Houston, Minnesota. In April of 2005, a generous donor donated the building to our school district. Unfortunately, it was badly in need of repairs. The school district then started using the basement and the upstairs as a storage facility. In 2006, the school board voted to establish and fund all-day, everyday kindergarten in Houston Public Schools. This meant that the preschool, early childhood special education integrated program would have to find a new location, and so we began renovating the basement of the Presbyterian Church to the cost of about $120,000. In 2006, the Houston School District also entered into an agreement with Head Start to provide service to qualifying students. The current Early Childhood Center is an integrated program of preschool, Head Start, and early childhood special education. And this integrated program continues to expand and is outgrowing its present location. Funds are needed to renovate the first floor of the building to accommodate this growth.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, I'm Beth Stanford. I'm the director of SEMTEC Head Start. SEMTEC is a nonprofit community action agency serving southeast Minnesota. Our Head Start program covers six counties in that part of the state. We're keen on collaboration in our service area. In addition to the partnership we have with the Houston Public Schools, we're also partnering with the Austin Public Schools, Lester Peterson Schools, and a unique partnership we have with the Winona Area Public Schools and the Winona State University Child Care Program. Two key points to share. Principal Bartz already mentioned the integrated classroom. Without this partnership, the partnership provides a quality early childhood experience to parents and families who would not have this opportunity in our in the Houston area. Also, by pooling our limited resources, let me start over. Two key points I'd like to share. The partnership provides an integrated classroom inclusive of special ed preschool and high school and Head Start preschoolers, providing a quality experience for children and families. By pooling, the second point is, by pooling our limited resources, we're serving families who would not be in a quality early childhood setting. In the Houston area, that's seven families we're serving who had not had early childhood opportunities in the past. We're serving a primarily rural population, and that's difficult for our programs to reach all the families of need. So it's not cost-effective for us to have a Head Start Center in every small town in our six-county area. So through this partnership, families who cannot afford the modest tuition that the Houston School is asking, they're served through the Head Start Partnership. The Houston School provides a quality classroom experience, and Head Start comes along and works directly with the families and the parents in order to support what the children gain in the classroom, that it continues to be supported in the house, the household level. Head Start's funding, federal funding, has been cut 11% over these last 6 years. This bonding bill will provide funds that we don't have to build and expand on this partnership as Principal Barr outlined. So thank you very much.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Hello, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Kelly Pano. I'm the preschool teacher and ECFE coordinator in Houston. And I just want to say, woohoo, we're pretty excited about the fact that we partner together. It's a little unique. We've been with our early childhood special ed since 1995. And then everybody is in the same room, and you cannot tell who is whom. And you are able to see modeled behavior that children might not otherwise have in speech and language and behavior. I want to tell you just a little bit about Houston. It currently has 10 licensed child care providers, all in homes. Many families use friends, family, and neighbors. And Houston has been identified by the University of Minnesota Extension Service as a community with 10% or greater poverty. We're Houston Community Education offers the only preschool in the district. Early childhood special education has been inclusive with us since 1995, and we are also fortunate to be part of the Houston County Early Childhood Initiative through Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, which is also a collaborative body. We are a rural community that deals with rural isolation. Some of our children don't come to preschool simply because parents can't leave work and travel 8 miles out of town to pick their child up at a child care in-home. And we deal with economic challenges, but we've been forward-thinking, possibly out of necessity, with the collaborations we've been able to forge with Head Start and Early Childhood Special Ed. We have good in-home child care where children are safe and fed, but we need to offer our families a language-rich environment so that children will have early success when they enter school. With this funding, we could extend preschool time and offer family options and provide programming for child care providers. It's crucial to the expansion of our program and to the early education of our children. Thank you for considering this, and thank you, and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. And would you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Steve Nagel, and I'm the director of West Central Minnesota Community Action. We serve a five-county area, the county seats being Alexandria, Elba Lake, Wheaton, Morris area. And we serve approximately 400 families in our Head Start program. And over the years, I'm fortunate that I was involved in four bonding projects. In the early mid-90s, I worked for Ottertail-Wadena Community Action and was involved in a bonding project the first year of this program where we built a building in Monaga. And then I was involved in projects in Parker's Prairie and Perham. These are all pretty modest projects. In Monaga, the grant was for $82,000. And I think we raised about $12,000 locally, and were able to build the building for that. Parkers and Perm were both renovations, and $88,000 in Parkers and $35,000 in Perm. And I think the significant thing about these grants is the bonding grants is with the matching requirement, it requires collaboration. And the last project I was involved with, and this is with West Central Community Action, was in Browns Valley, Minnesota. It's in Traverse County. And in our service area, we have two counties, Grant and Traverse, that are so rural they don't have a traffic light in the entire county. And Traverse County is the smallest county in the state population-wise, and it's also the oldest county. Browns Valley in Traverse County is the poorest community and rather a poor county. And I've got a couple of pictures of this project that I'd like to pass around, if that's okay.
The page will help you with that.
The long photographs that are scotch taped together are before pictures, and the rest are kind of in progress and how we finished. And before we had these bonding grants, we were generally in church basements. And the facilities weren't accessible and weren't very warm, and they also didn't have a playground. In all those cases, we had to bus kids. The playgrounds were too long to walk with 4-year-olds. And with the bonding grant, was able to resolve that problem, and then we could co-locate with our other partners, Early Childhood Family Education, to name one. In Browns Valley, we were renting a storefront across the street from the new building. And it's a pretty dilapidated building, actually, and it's been vacant since. This project was completed 9 years ago. And the furnace just worked intermittently. Often we had to cancel class because the building was too cold, and we were constantly battling rodents. There we were located with the food shelf. When we built the building in Browns Valley, and it was, I think it was the first new building to go on Main Street in Browns Valley in over 60 years, we solved all those problems. The picture, the rear building picture, doesn't have the playground in that was completed later. But now the Head Start project in Browns Valley is co-located with Early Childhood Family Education and with Public Health and Traverse County Social Services. They have a liaison who works with the band, the Sisseton and Wahpeton band. When we did this project, the Browns Valley project, the building cost just under $250,000, and we raised a total of $113,000 locally. Largely that came from the Initiative Fund and the Sisseton and Wahpeton Band, which donated $30,000 to the project. That was the first time they had ever contributed to a project in Minnesota. Very successful, and if it were not for these funds, these projects would still be located in inaccessible church basements. And I'd certainly be glad to answer any questions you have, but we're very pleased with the way the project, the four projects worked, and we appreciate your support. And
thank you.
I don't know. Can I answer the animal question?
If you'd like to.
When I was very young, my siblings called me Beaver because I looked very much like Jerry Mathers and Leave It to Beaver. And if you've seen him in recent years, we still look quite a bit alike.
Thank you. Representative Slavik, does this conclude the testimony that you have?
Yes, I think we'll take questions at this point.
Do any members have questions? Very well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I guess they did such a good job. They kind of stumped everybody, but I want to thank the testifiers for how far they traveled today and for your testimony. Now, see, Representative Ornus, you missed the whole testimony from your area. I was hoping to...
I could ask Steve at least one question.
Yeah. Well, he gave a great presentation, and it really, I think, brings to life for us as members, and we can read about things, but mm-hmm. It's much better when we can hear about them. Are you going to ask?
Well, if you have a question.
No, I was just going to give you an excuse. I have an excuse for being gone. My daughter was here, and I had to go and say goodbye.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Just visiting. And You know, his timing works sometimes. But I, whatever Steve said, I believe him.
I do have a question, Mr. Chair and committee members. May we have a piece of the candy?
Pretty easy cookie.
Thank you.
Well, we'll be lay the House File 2561 over 4, recommend to pass to the Education, Finance, and Economic Competitiveness Division. And without further ado, I think I will turn the gavel over to the chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative Bly. Next we'll call on Representative Poppy. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The chair moves that House File 2765 be laid over for inclusion in the Early Childhood Bonding Omnibus Bill. Okay. Thank you. If you'd like to present your bill, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. I'm Representative Jean Poppy, and I represent District 27B, which includes the City of Austin. Austin is a southern Minnesota city, which is the county seat of Maurer County. It is identified as a regional center. Austin has approximately 23,000 people. It is the corporate home of Hormel Foods, a Fortune 500 company. Today we're here to speak about the Austin Success Center, a concept which will bring together early childhood programming, child care, family support agencies, and all into one centrally located facility. It will provide somewhat of a one-stop shop. The total project cost is approximately $6 million, but with local matching dollars of $3 million, we're coming to the state asking for a $3 million match. With me today are Shannon Hart, coordinator of the Austin Early Childhood Initiative, Lynn Spainauer, who's a member of the Early Childhood Initiative and a child care provider, and Craig Hoyam, the City of Austin Development Director. They will speak to the project in greater detail, so I'll just turn it over to Shannon Hart.
Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record.
Shannon Hart, Early Childhood Initiative Coordinator from the Austin area. And thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for this opportunity to come in and speak on behalf of our project. I would like to just start out with like an introduction of our Austin Early Childhood Initiative. We actually started back in 2002-2003 through the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, which is located in Owatonna, Minnesota. The opportunity that we had actually was to take a look at our early childhood programs in the Austin area, take a look at our assets, and maybe some things we need to work on so that our littlest and youngest citizens in the Austin area will have opportunities to be successful now and then later in life. So some of the things that are happening and have been on, we're actually one of six in 2002-2003. In our region now, we are one of 12 early childhood initiatives and 64 in the state of Minnesota now. So there's lots of good things happening around early childhood. The Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation actually took lead and came down to our community, and we did some asset-based community development strategy, kind of building things. We also did some surveying to our citizens in Austin, and we built actually a coalition that in a nutshell, many members of our community, whether it was early childhood professionals, parents, senior citizens, government sector, law enforcement, and administration from our city, church-based organizations, a variety of people that have said, you know what, this is important, we really want to make some changes in our community. The past 4 years, basically, the Success Center, and you do have a packet in front of you that gives you more detail on what we're going to be talking about here, but actually this really, really started around the Austin community. We really started talking about this back in 1996, years ago, actually, so we keep coming around the table. We're seeing a huge need for child care in our community. As far as economic development in our community, for wanting to bring people, newcomers into the community for work, of course, comes along children and families. So we're seeing, we have good programs, but adequate space for our programs. We have significant wait lists for child care. We're seeing a need that we really need to make some changes. And the Success Center concept will help with that. And what we're looking at doing is actually having a one location that would house some family service organizations, which would include child care, Head Start programming, park and recreation, because we're looking at a type of a gym, indoor park area for families to come together and socialize and meet people in the community and things like that. So what we found, like I said, I mentioned, is people are really having a hard time accessing services. Our services are spread out around the Austin area. We're having to send people, and transportation is an issue as well. So we're having people running all over in the community accessing services. So we're seeing a need, you know, as this being to help that need in the community as well. So as far as our regional impact, like I said, we're one of 12 early childhood initiatives in the southern Minnesota area. We do have Riverland Community College that's in the Austin area, so many students are needing child care services to continue their secondary education and going into the workforce. So we're seeing some needs there. We have people coming from, and I'll let Craig talk a little bit about that too, as far as various areas from Albert Lea, Owatonna, Rochester, the smaller outlying communities coming into Austin and seeing some of the needs as well. Basically, what the Austin Early Childhood Initiative is, we're providing community leadership so that all children prenatal to five have opportunities to succeed, achieve, and of course, now and throughout life. So I think I want other people to talk to here, so I'm going to go ahead and pass that on to the next person here, and we'll keep on moving here.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Lynn Steinhauer. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. It's nice to see you again. I'm usually a little more extemporaneous in my comments, but for interest of time, I'm going to read a prepared statement so that I make sure I cover everything that I wanted to cover. And I hope I don't lull you into an early conference. Not something I tend to want to do, but sometimes you never know. My name is Lynn Steinhauer, as I said, and I am the director of a child care in Austin, Minnesota. I'm also a member of the Early Childhood Initiative that Mrs. Hart and Ms. Hart spoke about. I'm here today to testify in support of the Austin Success Center. Our child care is an agency of the Parenting Resource Center, which is a nonprofit agency. And we have been in operation now for about 8 years, a little over 8 years. We began at the request of our employer partner, who is Quality Pork Processors. They saw a great need for their employees to obtain quality, safe, and reliable child care, often at non-standard times like second and third shifts. As the director, I work with many families from many different socioeconomic backgrounds, and many of these families are new to the community. Many have been directly recruited to come to Austin for jobs that are available at Quality Pork Processors and formal corporations. That means that my job is not simply to enroll these families into child care if child care is available, but that my job oftentimes is to ask the questions that will help me identify what these families need in terms of social support. Without these supports, such as child care, special education for the child, adult education for the parent, housing assistance, parenting classes, the task of integrating into a community like Austin becomes more difficult. I want you to imagine the task before you, becoming a newcomer to the city of Austin. Integrating into any new community can be a challenge, but Austin presents a particular challenge because our social agencies are so spread out. I have seen through the eyes of many of my families the struggles they encounter trying to find services that they need before they can even begin work. I'm going to share with you the story of a family that I had at the child care. This father was a sole provider for his two young boys, ages 2 and 4. He spoke limited English. The 4-year-old had previously been diagnosed with ADD. He had learning disabilities and severe allergies. His brother also had severe allergies and, although not yet diagnosed, exhibited learning disabilities. The father walked to work as he didn't have transportation. Any errands they needed to complete needed to be done within walking distance or by bus if he could afford the fare. He was referred to our child care by his employer, Quality Pork Processors. As a newcomer, speaking to him, I identified that he had several needs. First, he needed to secure child care for his two boys, and I knew that he would qualify for child care assistance. He would also qualify for medical assistance and food stamps. That meant that he needed to go to the Department of Human Services and enroll for these programs. Now remember, he's got limited English, and he's a newcomer. That was in the northwest area of town, approximately 2 miles from his home. I referred this father to the Community Learning Center, or as we call it, the CLC, for further evaluation and screening of his two-year-old, and to see if he could enroll his four-year-old for special education assistance. The CLC is located in the southeast area of town, approximately 2.5 miles from his home. He was also interested in Head Start for both boys and adult education and English as a second language classes for himself. He asked about housing assistance. Those services were located at the Parenting Resource Center in the center of town in the basement of the U.S. Bank building. That was approximately 0.5 mile from his home. Lastly, he needed warmer clothing for the boys and was referred to the Salvation Army. They were located in the southeast area of town, about 10 blocks from the Community Learning Center. I think you are starting to form a picture here of how disjointed this is. The challenge this father had to get necessary services was quite substantial. And in the final analysis, he did not obtain all the services he needed because he simply could not navigate the areas of town in the time he had after working 40 hours a week or more. The important thing to remember that I would like to stress is that this is the norm in Austin most often. This is not the exception. Austin is growing. With the addition of the remodel of the Austin Medical Center, the new wing of the Hormel Institute, the expansion of medical technology-related classes at Riverland, the population is definitely growing. The northwest area of town is adding commercial space at a very energetic pace. As companies look to recruit talented employees, they realize that certain family supports need to be in place to attract these families who want to make Austin their permanent home, and that is our goal. Austin needs to compete to be as family-friendly as possible. We are in desperate need of child care. Our options, especially for non-standard care, are abysmal. Families find it difficult at best to obtain child care that allows them to work in Austin and surrounding areas. If these families perceive that their needs cannot be met in child care alone, they look to other cities to fill that need. The concept of the Success Center overcomes this hurdle and makes the family-friendly scenario more of a reality. Within the Success Center concept, which Mr. Hoyland is going to expand on in a moment, it's our vision that agencies would co-locate or be within close proximity instead of spread out all over the city. Additional child care, which is sorely needed in this area, would now be expanded, as that would be a large part of the Success Center. As the northwest area of Austin becomes a commercial hub, the southeast area of Austin can emerge as the social agencies hub. A family can walk a block to obtain social services help in the form of child care assistance, medical assistance, food stamps, WIC, energy assistance. 2 blocks away from the Success Center is a community learning center where they can sign up for special education for their children or adult education for themselves. Salvation Army is within a block. The visitation center, the post office, Main Street businesses, within a block of the Success Center. The Parenting Resource Center, with their parenting classes and lending library, are located in the Success Center along with Head Start and Semtech, and the Park and Rec offices. A community gym is planned to augment the well-used parks and the YMCA that everybody enjoys at this time. Many agencies that would be co-located in the Success Center serve Maurer and Freeborn County. So this is not an Austin concept. This has regional impact. Employers have indicated in letters to the legislature, and these are in your packet, that they are competing for good employees and the Success Center makes economic sense. These letters are in the packet for you to look at, and the Success Center helps agencies co-locate and we help them work more efficiently. It has regional impact and it makes Austin more family friendly and it's more competitive in the market. And please, I don't want you to overlook the very important fact that we badly need child care options and these would be increased. We see the Success Center not only as a vital need for the community, but we feel we can model a concept that other cities will begin to follow. The concept makes sense, and we have strong support from our city and our county commissioners. We have strong financial matches from both the county and private donors. This is not a concept that has popped up overnight, but as Ms. Hart explained, it is a concept that has been in discussion for many years. Now, I realize that there are many projects that are vying for a spot on the bonding priority list, and it is our hope that you will share our vision and that you'll work with us to make the Success Center a reality. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And members, I want to mention that during the interim, there were some other activities going on. One of the things we did do is Sarah Benskober, who's from Austin, and myself and Matthew did travel to Austin to look at childcare options. Down there, I met with several folks that you've mentioned. And it is kind of a unique challenge for what you have happening for your city. So we appreciated Representative Poppy set that up and have a better understanding of what's happening there. So
well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd like to state your name for the record.
Madam Chair and Committee, my name is Craig Hoyam. I'm the Development Director for the City of Austin. And before I go through the booklet that I handed out, I'd just like you to know that it's a pleasure to see Representative Poppy again. I had the pleasure of working with her as she served on the City Council for the City of Austin for a number of years. So I have a lot of experience with Jean, and it's good to see her again. In this booklet, I'm not going to go through it word by word or page by page, but if you look in the front portion of the booklet, there's our initial application that spells out some of the details about this project, not only the organizations that would be involved with it, but also trying to provide you with some detailed information relating to how this project actually meets some of the goals that have been established by the state of Minnesota, and I believe that's part of the criteria in making these applications. Representative Poppy mentioned briefly the budget for this project. If you'd want to go to page 4, again, the approximate total budget is $6.2 million, and there's a breakdown under item 11 that gives you the details and as far as this $6.2 million budget. Again, the other organizations participating in the project would be the City of Austin for $1.2 million, private donations for approximately $2 million, and the $3 million that we've requested for bonding from the state of Minnesota. In going through this project and obtaining support from some of the employers and other organizations in the City of Austin, there's written letters of support from the Hormel Foods Corporation, Austin Medical Center, which is an affiliate of the Mayo Healthcare System, the Initiative Foundation. I think the Initiative Foundation has already participated somewhat with, have recognized some of the challenge that we have with early child care issues in the City of Austin, and they have been supportive of our efforts. Riverland Community College, the Austin Public School District, and also the retired school superintendent, his name is Doug Myers. Going through the application further, there's a number of questions that we have written out or established and provided answers to that if you have an opportunity to go through those, I think they'll be very informative for you. The project itself, if you look at the back part of the brochure, I think the last five pages give you kind of a physical illustration as to there's two different options for the building design itself. The building is actually somewhat of an L-shaped building where one wing would be dedicated strictly for the early child care portion of the project, and the other wing would facilitate the offices and operations of some of the other organizations that both Lynn and Shannon brought to your attention. There's also a site plan included with the packet. When we originally made this application, there were two sites located in our central business district that take up approximately a block and a half or two blocks of redevelopment areas. If you look at option one, since making this application, that has been designated as a new location for a Moore County Government Center. And what we are directing our efforts toward right now is site option two, which is another redevelopment area located just in the southerly portion of our central business district. We've also included with the packet of material, there's a business plan that lists all the projected expenditures for the project, and also our revenue resources listed in the right column. So with that, I guess if there's any questions or additions, Jean, you can...
I'll just make some concluding comments. I appreciate this opportunity. I just wanted to mention, in addition to the Hormel Foods corporate office and the flagship plant being in Austin, we also have the Hormel Institute, and Lynn mentioned that. That's the University of Minnesota Research Center located in Austin. By this fall, the physical expansion of the Institute will be complete, and its growth is expected to bring dozens of new bioscience jobs to Austin, and these will include world-class scientists from literally around the world who will be coming to Austin. It's great payroll for the people, but it also means these are hardworking scientists who will be spending approximately 15 hours a day doing the work of cancer prevention research, and their families, spouses, and children will also be coming to Austin. And as it has been mentioned, there's sometimes a language difficulty, there may be cultural difficulty, and we want to be able to welcome them to our community. We realize that a few rural Minnesota communities are able to anticipate population growth. Austin is fortunate to be able to anticipate such growth, and we believe that we need to be prepared as a city and a region to be able to meet the future needs. We appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for allowing us to come and speak about our project, and we would hope for your positive remarks and perhaps carrying this forward into the bonding bill. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do have some questions. Representative Fritz?
Yes, yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Poppy, thank you for bringing this forward. And I'm pleased to hear of the bioscience scientists and their families that you're hoping to get. But I'd like to talk about the 2,300 employees at the Hormel plant. And I wanted to make reference to the story. Is it Lynn?
Yes.
Yes. Steinhauer?
Yes.
That you're talking about the father of two.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a need for many, many social services.
Yes.
So my question is this. What is the wage that these 2,300 folks are getting from Hormel? And is it not adequate so that they can afford health or the child care and all the other services that they would need? I mean, why would they need all of these services if they have such a good paying job, Ms. Fino?
There's actually two employers. When you go to Austin, there's actually two employers that you're talking about, although some people kind of like to package them together. But there's actually Quality Pork Processors, and they are the kill operation for Hormel Corporation. And they're typically, they're our employer partners, so they're the ones that we work with the most. And their wages typically are lower because those are mostly unskilled labor. They're plant workers. They're not doing the types of labor that Hormel Corporation would be hiring for. So they're typically coming in at about $9 an hour if they have some skills. And that may even be a little bit generous. I know for this particular family, he didn't make enough that he was able to qualify for just about every type of program out there. And that's pretty typical for QPP. You need to be there and working up with step increases for quite a long time before you're really making the kind of wages that you may typically make at Hormel.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have another question. I also want to say I serve on the Poverty Commission members, and we went around the state and looked at child care around the state. We went to Pelican Rapids where there's a turkey plant, and also in St. James there's some kind of a poultry plant, I think, there as well. But it is, we find that the wages are so low and the cost of child care is often so high,
yes,
that families are really struggling just to make it. And I'm hoping that at least the Poverty Commission can help with some addressing those issues, because that is something we're seeing somewhat statewide.
Yeah.
And
we call it the working poor, and I think that's maybe what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Representative Ward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Poppy, thank you for bringing this and testifiers as well. I represent the Brainerd area, and we have a early childhood center in the Bryn area that is kind of a one-stop shop also, and we're very proud of it. It's a great facility. I understand, I'm looking at your business plan, and I see the expenditures are about $70,000 per year, and then the revenues generate about $72,000 per year. I'm assuming that is just for the building. That's just for the upkeep. That's just for the operation of the building.
That's correct.
What? How is it going to be staffed? Who's going to be the responsible staff running that
building? As far as the operations and the upkeep of the building, that would be the responsibility of the City of Austin or the Park and Rec Department. So they would be the administrator for the budget. And if you look at the various lease agreements on the revenue side, what we've tried to do with those various organizations is make this facility available to them at their current lease rates in their current scattered location.
Representative Ward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I see that's wise planning, I think, and for sure. My question, though, is about the staff that's going to operate there. Who's going to be the government agency that is in charge of that? Is it going to be the school district? Where's the staff going to come from? Is it a city staff? It's going to be a city staff?
The city staff or the department of the city that would also be co-located here is the Austin Park and Rec Department. As far as the other organizations that are going to be located within the facility, that would be their individual staffing from that particular organization.
Are you thinking in terms of kind of like a property management staff?
Representative Ward.
That would, yeah.
Ms. Bainhauer.
You can go through the chair. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the early childhood staff, that's, I'm assuming, is in the facility as an early childhood staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, is that, how is that related? Where is it going, you know, who's the responsible agency for running that? For that,
Ms. Hart.
Okay, Madam Chair, committee members. The early childhood sectors that would be located via our one of our community child care centers, which is an operation they run under their own board of directors and their own staffing, so they would run their child care piece. We also have a Head Start program. That's an individual Head Start program. They have their own individual staff and also run under the direction of a director and such.
Okay. You know, I have a question as we move towards the bonding bill, and members, you all know this is a bonding session. There's something like, I'm sure you know this, $4 billion of requests for what will be probably under $1 billion bill. What's the timing on your plan? I mean, is it going to be up and running next year, or if it went through a bonding cycle in 2010, could you tell us, you know, how that might work?
When we initially made the bonding request, Madam Chair, it was the time schedule was to begin construction on the project in the fall of 2009, or excuse me, 2000. No, I think construction was to begin in 2009, I'm sorry.
2009, okay. So okay. Perhaps that we could look at how bonding would fit into that, but it's about a year out maybe or so?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Bly?
My compliments to your plan. It looks very exciting. And just following up on some of Representative Ward's comments or questions, we have a similar kind of partnership for a resource center in Northfield. And some of the questions about who would maintain the building and everyone thought it was great at the beginning, and they were all willing to pitch in. But as time went on, and I guess I just offer this as something to think about. People have wanted to kind of pull away from some of those more expensive services or those things that keeps the building up. And I hope that you have enough money put into this to make sure that those things can happen and you don't end up people saying, well, I don't think that's our job. We shouldn't have to do that. And make that really clear. That would, I'm sure, help the success a lot.
Any other questions? Representative Wardlaw?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just on page 2, underneath the nonprofit and private funding for $2 million. I'm just curious how you're doing on that. Is money coming in already, or how's that work?
We have made contact with actually some of the organizations that have
you know, provide us with letters of support for the project. We've had discussions with the Hormel Food Corporation, the Hormel Foundation, the Austin Medical Center. So there is, you know, a lot of interest in this project, and they recognize the need and have not given us an exact dollar amount, but have indicated to us that they are willing to participate financially with the project.
Any other questions, members? Okay. Well, we want to thank you for coming down. How's the weather in Austin?
Really bad when we left.
Was it? Well, I wondered about that. We wondered if you all might not be here, so we do appreciate you.
Got better as we went up, so that was nice.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully you're going to be okay going home, too, so we appreciate that. Thank you, Representative Poppy.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, members, we're just about done. We have a couple of procedural moves here to get the bill in the shape we want. First of all, we have to lay over House File 2765. Then what we're going to do here is the way that Representative Hausman wants anything related to bonding from this committee, she wants it in one bill. So we have to do some procedures to get Representative Poppy's and my bill combined. So we'll see if we can do this correctly. I move to take House File 2561 off the table. Okay. And then I want to do an. Is that it? Okay. And then I am going to move the amendment labeled HF 2651 DE1 be amended into HF 2561. Does everybody understand what we're doing? We're combining the bills together. Okay. So, and this amendment has three articles. Article 1 sets the priorities. Article 2 is House File 2761 amended. And Article 3 is House File 2765. Is there any discussion? Representative Wardlaw?
Madam Chair, I'm assuming all the math matches up with the numbers now that you combine them.
Let's see, Representative Wardlaw. That's the job of Ms. Adrian's. Does it add up?
Madam Chair, I believe it does, but I'll double check just to make sure.
Thank you. Oh, and then we need to amend, include the amendment line 2.34 as was changed before. Right, okay. Ms. Lemire, is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. On page 2, line 34, what you need to do is delete where possible, comma.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any discussion? Okay, and also just so you know, and we have talked with Representative Poppy about this, is we have to prioritize these, and we are putting the facilities ones first and the Austin ones second, just because we hope that the other one has more statewide significance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion prevails and amendment is adopted. Okay. Okay. And I will renew the motion that House File 2561 be recommended to pass as amended to the Education, Finance, and Economic Competitiveness Division. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you. A couple of quick last things. Ms. Lemire, I don't think you were with us at the end of our committee last year, were you? Can you tell us about why you're back and what happened during the interim and so forth?
Madam Chair, I ended up making a little bit of an early exit from session because I had twins.
And what are their names?
There are two girls, Lily and Lucy.
Well, thank you for coming back. We know you have your hands full. As we had the Early Childhood Committee, we also had another arrival over from our fiscal analyst, Ms. Adrian, do you want to announce?
I would love to. Madam Chair, I was not fortunate enough to leave as early as Danielle was. But I had a baby boy named Gus, and, you know, one day we'll have to bring them in to the Early Childhood Committee to introduce them to everyone.
That would be great. We can put, in the old days, they would put toys in the middle for any kids, and the kids can play in the middle. So congratulations to the two of you. I also want to make sure we thank the staff, Sarah Benskoper and Matthew Colley. I mean, Sarah's worked particularly hard. She sets up all the interim hearings. She's seen us through making all the decisions. And we have a lot happening right now, and she guides all of that. So I especially want to thank her for her work. And also Matthew has been brought along now and is working as part of the team, too. So we appreciate that. We also appreciate the advocates that are here, and their input into the bonding bill has been very helpful, and they helped bring the testifiers here today. So we appreciate that. And we all hope you all have a happy Valentine's Day. And with that, we are adjourned.